Okay, thank you very much, and good morning to all of you. My presentation, well, you heard a title, is actually a presentation by myself and James Munro. And what I'm going to be doing is just give a really brief summary of what we've been doing in terms of high-level phylogenetics in Retrovidae over the past few years. Well, this slide is supposed to give you kind of a little bit of an impression about the morphological but also biological diversity of Retrovidae. So it's pretty obvious, I think, that Retrovidae come in a just tremendous range of shapes and sizes and colors. But then also on this slide, you're meant to get an impression of their biological diversity. It's really mirrored in their morphological diversity. Retrovidae are, for example, or the certain groups are ambush predators. There is sticky trap predation going on in the group. Some of them are antlering. Some are spider hunting or kleptoparasites and spider nets. But then another group is millipede feeding, and then last but not least, obviously, triatomini or kissing bugs are blood feeding. There are about 7,000 described species in Retrovidae, and this makes Retrovidae the second largest family-level taxon within all of Heteroptera. And this may be a little bit surprising. There has been relatively low agreement on high-level phylogenetics of Retrovidae. 32 subfamily level names are under consideration, but most authors use between 21 and 28 of them. My parsimony analysis of Retrovidae comprises 72 species of Retrovidae spread across 21 subfamilies, which means there are 5 still missing, and Pachynomidae, the sister group of Retrovidae and Nabidae's outgroups. I used 162 morphological characters of the adults, and what you see on the left is a strict consensus of the 24 most parsimonious trees. Retrovidae are really well characterized as a monophyletic group within Simicomorpha, and one of their notable synapomorphies, and this is really notable in two senses, is a stridulatory structure that's formed by the labium together with a groove on a prosternum. When the assassin bug moves the head up and down, as indicated on the lower right, strongly sclerotized processes on the tip of the labium run over this groove on a prosternum that's covered with cuticular ridges, and this then produces a sound. Among the character complexes that I looked at for my analysis are a number of what I want to call default character complexes, such as head structures, including head sclerites, structures on the thorax, including wing and wing venation, for example, and leg characters, but also abdominal character complexes, including male and female internal and external genitalia. But I also looked into a number of what I would call a bit more unusual character systems, at least in the sense that are less frequently explored for cladistic analysis in other Heteroptera. And they, for example, comprise the mouth parts. Mandibular and maxillary styla show a tremendous diversity across Retrovidae, but then also sensory structures on the antenna, such as Trichobatria, a so-called cave organ, pretarsal structures, a really wide range of glandular structure all over the body of assassin bugs, and last not the least, attachment structures on the legs of these critters. In this simplified tree, you see that Hamaserinae are the sister group of all remaining Retrovidae. Hamaserinae is really small, new world, mostly new world, exclusively new world and mostly neotropical taxon. And one of their, kind of obvious diagnostic characters is that their labium has 4 segments and not 3 as in the majority of other Retrovidae. The so-called Fematine complex that comprises the Holoptilinae, Fematine, but also the small Southeast Asian taxon Centricnomine are supported in this analysis. This is an assemblage that was earlier proposed by Carrion and co-workers, and one of the synapomorphies are the really strange male genitalia that are very complicated compared to those of other Retrovidae. Then to the Halpactrinae. Halpactrinae are the largest subfamily level clade within Retrovidae, 2,200 species described, and they're supported as a monophyletic group, even though Apiomorinae, Diaspidinae, and Ectodonorinae, that together are known as the resin bugs, are paraphyletic in this hypothesis. The entire group Halpactrinae is diagnosed, and this is a synapomorphy, obviously, by a small crateroid cell in the front wing. Then what I like to call an unlikely relationship are the kind of small, hairy, leaf-litter-dwelling tribulocephalinae and the often aposematically colored ectocodiinae. Those are the millipede feeders. Among the characters that support this relationship are the really kind of unique and absolutely identical structure of the mandibular and maxillary stylets in the two groups. What is not very surprising in this analysis is that a dumping ground of Retrovidae, the Retroviinae, did not come out as a monophyletic group. They're really badly polyphyletic in this analysis, as you can tell. And finally, kissing bugs, or triatomini, are nested within a clade that also comprises predatory Stenopodinae and at least part of the polyphyletic Retroviinae. Well, since publishing this analysis, we also started doing molecular work on SSN bugs. And, well, we started off looking at 94 taxa spread across 15 subfamilies, 24 tribes. We used ribosomal genes at that stage, fixed alignments using MUFT, and ran different analyses using parsimony, TNT, maximum likelihood using RexML and Mr. Bayes. What you see on the left is one of the maximum likelihood trees. You see the bootstrap is kind of indicated by these little asterisks. And on the right, you see one of the parsimony analysis. What is really nice in a way is that, well, no matter what analytical method you're using, what I would call the crucial taxa come out in or are supported in every analysis, essentially. What even pleased me more is that there's also a really high level of congruence between the molecular and the morphological analysis. So I'm just going to be giving kind of a few examples of where we see congruence or differences between these analyses. So what is pretty obvious in a way, Radovidii are also in the molecular analysis are really well supported as a monophyletic group. Not very surprising, but still it's kind of reassuring. It's nice to have that. Well, as the next step, you remember that Hemosirini are treated as a sister group to all other Radovidii in the morphology analysis. This is not what you find in a molecular analysis. Well, Hemosirini are supported as a sister group to the so-called fimatine complex. This is a pretty interesting result, I think, and we want to address it further by including a larger sample of the basal groups within Radovidii, but also rechecking some of the morphology of Hemosirini to really figure out what is going on at the base of the Radovidii. Then what is pretty clear, too, is the remaining Radovidii. This is Radovidii with the exception of Hemosirini and the fimatine cobs, again, are really well supported as a clade. Hopactorini are also supported as a monophyletic group. This is in, well, kind of, well, different from a recently published analysis that mostly focused on Triotomini and found Hopactorini to be polyphyletic. This is certainly not what we find here. Hopactorini are clearly monophyletic. And then if you remember what I proposed in the morphological analysis, the resin bugs Apiomorini and Diaspidini are paraphyletic also in the molecular analysis. We have Apiomorini being monophyletic and Diaspidini being the sister group to the remaining Halpactorini. So this has implications on the evolution of sticky trap predation within the entire group. And then the tribe Halpactorini is paraphyletic with respect to the skinny, very odd-looking Raphidosomini, which wasn't that much of a surprise. The long-legged and very skinny-looking Amosini, Psiosini, and Vesinocrini are supported as a clade as well, even though at that stage we couldn't recover a monophyletic Amosini. They're paraphyletic with respect to the Vesinocrini. Then the unlikely relationship of Tribulocephalini and Ectricordiini is also supported in the molecular analysis. And you might still wonder how the similar-looking critters like that could really, or if they should really be in the same group. And the whole thing might become a little bit more credible if you look at what I propose to be relatively basal basal species in both clades. One of them, Ectricordiella, this is a basal Ectricordiini. And this specimen is 2.5 millimeters long. This is about as small as Radovidii get. Still, well, undescribed species and genus. And I propose this species to be a basal Tribulocephalini. Then Fusidorini, Sciotini, and part of the polyphyletic, again, Radovidini are supported as a group. This is also largely congruent with what we see in a morphological analysis. And finally, this might be the most important point I want to make today, Triotomini, including the tribes Rodniini and Triotomini, are supported as a monophyletic group in this analysis. And this is important, well, to give some background. The monophyly of Triotomini has been really hotly debated over the past 20 years, and there's a number of people out there who strongly believe that Triotomini are polyphyletic. This is not what we see here. And further, and again, this is congruent with the morphologic analysis, we find that Triotomini are nested within a clade with Stenopodini and part of the polyphyletic Radovidini, and in fact a sister group to a neotropical clade, the large species of the genus Silurus. And at least in my view, they're a pretty credible sister group for Triotomini. Okay, so where are the open questions and problems? Obviously, when you look at a tree, you see what I would want to refer to as a very weak backbone, and we hope to be addressing this in the future by adding additional, or probably protein coding genes, but then also a larger sample of especially Radovidini. And also, there is still a relatively good number of missing higher level taxa. Obviously, this is another thing we really need to address, together with an overall denser taxon sampling. Okay, with this, I'd like to thank a number of people, and thank you for your attention.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Yes.
Any plans to combine the morphology of the data?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. So we decided to wait till we include a few more of the higher level tags that were obviously missing, and they were actually there in the morphological analysis, but we haven't sequenceable specimens yet for the, or we have them by now, but we didn't include them in this analysis, and yeah, obviously that's going to be the next step.